Welcome to the first episode of Building Tech Talk, a podcast where we delve into the world of new technology, science, and most importantly, ideas from the building industry, heard directly from the pioneers who are discovering new ways to build our world better. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and today I'm joined by our resident experts here on Building Tech Talk, Dr. Doug Brown, Chief Technology Officer at ZS2 Technologies, and Scott Jenkins, President and CEO at ZS2 Technologies.
For starters, I think you both come from different perspectives when it comes to the building industry. Dr. Doug, you are very much on the science and technology side of things. And Scott, you are business. You are both building businesses, helping them grow. And so just to introduce you guys to our audience a little bit, Doug, we'll start with you. Just what's your background? What do you bring to the building industry right now?
Yeah, thanks, Matt. And I appreciate you calling me Dr. Doug and not Doc Brown like most. But my background is in sort of next generation green technologies. Been working in that field for better part of a decade and a half now. Started with sort of a love for sustainability and making a difference in sort of the umbrella of a changing climate. And my passion for chemistry was really sparked with my early career when I started at Carbon Engineering. I was part of the early team there working on capturing carbon dioxide out of the ambient air. Then I went on to do my PhD on sort of solar cell technologies and large-scale saltwater batteries. We were doing sort of window tint applications. The particular sort of next-gen solar cell is called a dye-sensitized solar cell, where it's basically a window tint that generates power. And then large-scale sort of redox flow batteries that were based on salt water. Later in my career, after I finished grad school, I went on to join MGO Systems. And I started to work on sort of cement composite technologies and sort of highly resilient, low-carbon footprint building materials.
So no credibility whatsoever is what you're saying. I think a lot of our audience will understand what you were talking about. A lot of it seems extremely advanced. So hopefully you can keep some people, keep their credibility and find out whether their technology that they're bringing to market is really valuable or not, and really explore those well. Scott, you're from the business side and building companies within the building industry. Just a little bit about your background and where you come from.
Yeah, well, first, thanks, Matt. Super excited that we're launching this podcast. I know you and Dr. Doug have lined up an amazing group of folks that are going to be joining us in the next few months. Dr. Doug right here, he's actually a great example of the folks that I've been so fortunate to work with in my career. These brilliant folks who are pushing the envelopes. My time from early days at Dirt Environmental Solutions and building that business and supporting an amazing team, an amazing technology team, an amazing group of folks who believed in sustainability, much like Doug here, believed in prefabricated solutions using a proprietary technology that Dirt had called ICE, so on the software side. Prior to that at Pure Technologies, so non-destructive testing technologies, both hardware and software for various types of infrastructure like pipelines, bridges, pre-stressed concrete cylinder pipe, concrete buildings. So you can kind of see some synergies here about with some of Doug's work here and all the amazing people that were there. So I've been very fortunate to work with some great teams and hopefully help them grow and bring it to clients and try to push that envelope in the construction industry, which I think both Doug and I can agree and why we wanted to do this podcast. It's an industry that needs some change and it's probably ripe for change, and people are starting to look for new technologies.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a good segue into, from what people see from the outside of the industry, it looks like construction and buildings, they go up pretty much the way we've seen them go up for a long time. The crane comes in, the framing goes up, and some walls appear, and nobody really necessarily knows what goes inside those walls or what the structure is made of, or any, you know, a building from 20 years ago, it could be the exact same as one being built today. Nobody really, unless you're in the industry, unless you're really on the advancement side of building technology. So as far as you guys can see right now, where are the advancements being made in building technology?
Yeah, I'm happy to start us off. So you bring up an interesting point, Matt, that oftentimes we don't really think about too much what's inside our walls, particularly when we're going to buy a new house or look at a new space. You know, you look at those fine finishes, like whether it has granite or, you know, stainless steel appliances. But I tell you, living in Calgary, we've lived through some pretty extreme weather events. And, you know, sometimes you end up having to rip those walls open and actually take a look what's underneath. Probably because, you know, your basement's been sitting in 4 feet of water for the summer, and then
thank you.
You have to rip it out because it's all moldy. And when you actually look at what's underneath there, it really hasn't changed in the better part of, you know, the last 50 years, 60 years. A lot of them are still using fiberglass bats, or if it's a really old house, you know, there was nothing in there. The construction industry as a whole is one of those industries that has just been reluctant to change. And I think that that's kind of operating from two levels. One being that, you know, a lot of people in that industry are used to doing it a certain way. And then the other side of that argument is that code has kind of reflected that this is how buildings have been built. And so the code reflects that. And it doesn't give a lot of wiggle room for sort of newer advances.
Yeah, I would add a little bit to Doug's comments and agreeing wholeheartedly. You know, and Doug and I getting to know each other over the past few years and working closely together, and we talk to clients, we talk to potential strategic partners, and it just feels that there's always this challenge to get over this hill of, well, we've always done it that way before. And I think that's probably the key phrase: we've always done it that way before, so why would we change? And so what we find, and what we're hoping to do a little bit with the podcast is, you know, and I know we're going to meet some other innovative people that we haven't thought of yet, and folks, is to hopefully bring some of these new technologies, not just in software, where I do believe the construction industry has made a lot of advancements, and wow, is that going fast, whether it's, you know, 3D visualization, using AI for design, you know, BIM is a common term, which building information modeling and collaboration and tools. But now also exploring a little bit of maybe going back to the grade 9 science lab and thinking about chemistry and physics and, you know, math and product design and looking at materials that probably make a lot more sense. And that's, you know, what excites me so much about Doug's work and again, some of the folks we're going to be talking with.
And on that note, when it comes to, both of you talked about there being a little bit of a reluctance necessarily for new technology to be adopted, and some of the reasons why, it's definitely a challenge for startups and for people with new ideas and new technology. So both of you have been involved in bringing that to market and bringing new ideas and new products into the marketplace. What are the hurdles that the people that we're going to be meeting on this podcast, what are some of the hurdles they're facing right now when it comes to getting that into the mainstream industry?
So maybe I'll start us off on this one. So a little bit, you know, building on what we were just talking about, you know, any new technology, probably in any industry, is going to face a bit of an uphill battle. You have to prove yourself. I think that's really, it's proof points. But in the construction industry, especially, now, and we have to remember, this is the world's largest industry. It is the biggest in terms of what's going on in our built environment. It's also, unfortunately, one of the largest contributor to whether it's greenhouse gases, CO2 emissions, you know, waste in a landfill, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a, you know, probably another topic for us to discuss. But getting people involved in different projects to believe that your solution or your partner's solution or what you have is truly a better way to build. That's kind of a common phrase a lot of companies and organizations use, is challenging. So what, you know, the succinct answer is we have to educate, and we have to sometimes create our own proof points. And from a business standpoint, that takes investment. It takes a passionate team that believes in what they're doing, that can convey that passion to other folks that we're speaking to. And it also takes research and development partners that can help validate what you're doing. And it takes time. Would that be fair?
Absolutely.
I don't know if you want to add anything else to that.
Yeah. I'm happy to talk about product development. So prototype development has kind of been where I found myself over the last 5 years. And I can say that with pretty good certainty, it's challenging for startups to enter the market outside of academic institutions. You know, once you cross over into private industry, there's expectations, there's timelines, there's limited resources. You know, you can't just explore science for the sake of exploring science anymore. You need to be accountable to your shareholders and to the invested parties. And so oftentimes, you know, as you come up with an idea and you want to create it, you know, it takes a village of people to bring it to fruition. And you can't be shy towards that process, because I think it hampers innovation. From a regulatory framework standpoint, you know, I sympathize with them oftentimes because they do put up a lot of hurdles that you have to jump through, particularly in the construction space. You know, we're talking about the safety of others, and so good on them. We have to hold people accountable that they've actually really put these things through the right testing protocols. But I've also found that that's a significant sort of roadblock, both financially and time-wise. You know, oftentimes if you come up with a product and you're ready to sell it, you know, you could be sitting on your hands for 6-12 months waiting to get the regulatory approval to go ahead and sell it. You know, and that's a long time for your factory and your employees to sit idle.
Especially when you're dealing with startup capital.
Yeah.
And limited amount of it. And is that something that you've experienced, Scott, where being able to maintain a company long enough to get that technology to market is a challenge?
Without a doubt. I can remember some challenging times at predecessor companies, you know, going way back, Pure Technologies, you know, tremendous technology and amazing team. But there were some years there that were lean and were a challenge. With Dirt Environmental Solutions, it was also the early days. You know, we were focused on growth and making those investments, but access to capital, access to people, access to partners at times was also incredibly challenging. You know, we've got lots of funny stories about the battles we fought, and luckily we were successful in both instances to persevere. Perseverance, I think that's, and you know, Doug, you've seen it in your past with some of your companies and with the research. You know, Doug makes a really good point. So when you're developing new technologies in some industries, you know, maybe it's a software application, the barriers are probably a little less. It's time, it's effort, it's money, but it may not be, you know, a health issue or, you know, keeping people safe or our shelter or the buildings and the homes or the schools with our children. So it is important that the regulatory authorities have high hurdles for new technology development and certification, but it does make it that much more difficult. I would add to that that for those companies that are successful and persevere, the rewards can be tremendous. And, you know, we believe in building a better environment. That's why our careers have been where they are. Like, we do think it's time for us to change the built environment and improve things.
Is there anything right now, given that we're in a period of the economy being in a low time for people listening to this, later on, we're just in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, and there's definitely been an economic impact to that, and governments are looking at ways to boost investment, to boost new industries. Is there anything right now that isn't being done that could be done to help the people that we're talking to in upcoming episodes grow faster, bring their technology and industries, their niche industries into the mainstream?
Yeah, good question, Matt. I think that there's been some initial movements for sort of stimulus packages to get the economy going again in regards to sort of tech innovation. I'm not sure where a lot of those programs will end up, But at least the government seems to be thinking of sort of taking this as an opportunity to move towards a greener, more sustainable future. So I think that there will be some opportunities that were not available pre-pandemic. But as you said, like, you know, it's a tough economic time right now. And a lot of these companies who've got great ideas, who are at the stage of maybe a prototype development or, you know, engaging certification bodies, you know, it's bad timing. It's tough to be a startup right now in this environment.
And I would add a little bit to that on that particular topic, that from some of the conversations we've seen over the last, you know, I don't know, couple of years, you know, maybe even going back a little farther, I've noticed a change now with, you know, the challenges that the world is facing with the pandemic, that people seem to be, this is a personal opinion, seem to be able to take a little more time and ask a little more questions, and they're a little more open to the, you know, to learning about some new technologies. And they're not in such a rush just to get something done and just do it the way it is. You know, and I think, you know, particularly with construction, you know, in terms of just building something, slapping it up and going, it seems to me there's been a little bit of shift where people are asking a little more questions. Maybe it's because they have time. Maybe it's because their whole attitude towards things have changed. I'm not certain what it is, but I'm a believer, you know, these are a terrible crisis for the world right now. But there will be tremendous opportunity coming out of this.
I agree.
So that's some good news for the people we're going to be talking to in the coming weeks, that there is opportunity to grow right now in this industry. And shifting gears a little bit, Doug, just as far as we talked about some niche people working in niche areas, and you're a niche of a niche of a niche in working. A lot of what you've been working on is with one particular element, and that's magnesium. And so I just, before we close out today, I just want to talk to you a little bit about what is it about magnesium that you're excited about and that you're seeing changing the building industry right now?
Absolutely. And it's funny because it has kind of become my element of choice in my professional career. Previous to that, it's a little comical. It used to be ruthenium in grad school, and I would say ruthenium and no one had ever heard of it, and their mind immediately went to, that sounds really expensive, and do we have enough of it for what you're proposing? The answer was always, it is really expensive, and no, we don't have enough of it. Magnesium is not like that. It's actually an amazing element and has amazing properties as a metal oxide. It's extremely abundant. It's the eighth most abundant element in the crust, and it's the third most abundant element in seawater. It's not in that many regions in the world where it's economically concentrated enough to produce and mine. So that's been one of the sort of things that's come to light since I've entered the field, is that China, North Korea, and Russia actually account for about 65% of the global supply chain of magnesium. It's kind of used heavily in the refractory industry and the agricultural sector. And then more here locally in the oil and gas sector as a water purification agent. But it has amazing properties. And if you're looking at sort of creating novel materials that you want to be extremely resilient, you know, in particular in the building industry, like we're moving towards a future where, you know, these kind of extreme weather events are a thing of normalcy. And if you want to start to look at materials that are, you know, within the realm of possibility of using for large scale application, I think magnesium oxide is worth an investigation. It's got amazing properties as far as its fire characteristics and its resiliency to water. So a lot of opportunity, I think, to look at using this as sort of a replacement for those types of materials. But not only that, my kind of interest in it was based around its lower carbon footprint potential. So as I mentioned, it's one of the largest sort of dissolved minerals in seawater. So if you start to look at this concept of mining the ocean, you know, which in some regards we're already doing by desalination, we're mining, you know, fresh water for a lot of different communities where water is an issue. What are we going to do with the salts left over in some of these sort of desalination plants? And I think if you can come up with some solutions around those mined from the ocean salts, you know, that's a green mined mineral. And the only sort of footprint associated with it is energy and the energy to evaporate or separate. And if those are produced by a sustainable source, then, you know, you've got a really compelling environmental argument.
So why isn't this a widely used substance right now in the building industry? It sounds like there's a lot of opportunity and that you're exploring a lot of things with it, but why now?
I would say to echo some of what Scott said, it's a reluctancy for change. It's the amount of the resource that's available. And then it's just not really been investigated sort of in modern times. You know, it has been used in sort of a sparse application here and there, but it's only kind of been reinvigorated, I'd say, in the last couple decades because of the opportunity around potentially replacing larger CO2 emitter options.
And, you know, Doug, you've done a great job, you know, as we work closely together, explaining to me, and you may want to add a little bit to this, the most raw magnesium or magnesite as an element is heavily used in other industries. So the construction industry, for many folks, this was never a thought. And it wasn't till, you know, someone with the background of Dr. Doug here came around and had, you know, all of that work and your early efforts with carbon engineering and carbon sequestration that kind of led you down this path a little bit. And, you know, through that, then we've been fortunate to meet some other people who also, you know, share our vision for what this could be, and overall for the construction industry to adopt new material science. And I think that's the key. You know, I know we're going to be wrapping up here soon, but construction is getting better at adopting some new technologies, especially in the software space. But I think we share a belief that it's time for the material scientists to take the lead here and building resiliency, healthier buildings, sustainable buildings.
Well, it's going to be exciting to go through a lot of these opportunities that are coming up and a lot of these pioneers that are looking at this new material science and new technology in the coming weeks. So thank you, Dr. Doug Brown and Scott Jenkins of ZS2 Technologies. And for our listeners, be sure to subscribe to Building Tech Talk wherever you get your podcast from, or be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel as we get more and more episodes up with some interesting guests in the coming weeks. Thanks for joining us.